gospel text today comes from Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 17. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 10, in Jesus' name. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all of these things and were scoffing at him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourself in the sight of men, but God knows your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John, and since that time the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of the letter of the law to fail." Let us pray. Lord, today, we just pray that you will take and open our hearts to receive, that you will take and open our minds to understand and open our ears to hear you. Lord, I just pray for myself, Lord, that I will not misspeak, but Lord, that you will guard my mouth, that what you placed upon my heart, Lord, may be shared today because of your truth. Lord, that we do not want to change your word, but we just want to understand it. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you looked at your bulletin this morning, you noticed that I titled my message, "Who Are You Serving?" If you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who's going to give you property of your own? Quite a statement on a Sunday morning. The things that are entrusted to you really do not belong to you. Everything that you have really does not belong to you. It belongs to God. God has entrusted it with you. He sees fit that you are in charge of that he has given you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says that in this case, moreover, is required of stewards than that one be found trustworthy. I want to read that again, see if I can do that correctly. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. You and I are stewards. This is not a requirement. It is a requirement, not a request. I was going to say that backwards. Sorry about that. It is a requirement. God's not requesting you to be trustworthy. He requires us to be trustworthy. God wants to find you trustworthy when he comes again. He wants to know that you're taking and doing what you're to do with what God has given you. So many people today want to give God a partial service. They don't want to serve God full time. They want to come on a Sunday morning and say, "This is my time. This is what I'm giving to God this week, is 1 hour, and the pastor better not be long-winded and speak for 25 minutes. That's not what God requires of you and I. Kind of hurts, doesn't it? So many want to serve God only when it's convenient. Some people only want to give partial stewardship to the Lord. Now, this is what I believe. And I believe that it's very safe to say this morning, is that we give only half-hearted service to our Lord. And when we do that, what we are doing is we're robbing Him. It's simple robbery. There's no other way to say it. We're stealing. We're withholding from God the things that belong to Him. We're not giving Him our all. There are several areas in our lives that we all rob God of. One of them is that we rob God of the love for Him. We have decided we don't want to take and put too much love into God. We want to take and, share it around the world. But we take and rob Him when we don't love Him fully. How about with our time? We rob God when we do not serve Him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We rob God when we don't give Him our first fruits of our money. We decide we want to keep that for ourselves. Or there's anything else that you and I are stewards of that we don't give back to God, we're robbing Him. Today, we're going to look at who are we serving? Are we serving God, or are we serving our pocketbook? I'd like to share today with you some biblical principles on tithing. Kind of keep you awake here today. Tithing is an aspect of the Old Testament law, but we are required to keep it and to obey it. Let's take a look at the law of holiness from the Old Testament. That didn't get thrown out when we entered into the New Covenant. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." When you came in today for worship, did you come in with an attitude that you were going to worship God and you were going to give Him your all? Or did you come into the service today with the idea that, well, I'm doing my weekly duty. I'm going to make the pastor happy because he's going to see my face in church and know that I was here. Dangerous, isn't it? We are not freed from being holy. We are not free from doing what we want. God is going to hold us accountable. How about the law of obedience? In both the Old and New Testament, it teaches us to know God's will is to be accountable to it. If we're going to preach and if we're going to teach God's will, and as parents and as grandparents, you're teaching your children and your grandchildren that, then you're going to be held accountable. Boy, this hurts, doesn't it, sometimes? Pastor, quit stepping on my toes. But so oftentimes, Jesus tells us time and again, that if you truly love me, you will obey what I have commanded you. Tithing comes all the way from back in the Old Testament. That command to tithe was not ever passed away. We are to give to the Lord what is His. The Old Testament had specific things to say concerning the law of finances and how people were to handle it. Tithing did not originate under the law, but some people like to say, the Lord does not care if I tithe or not, because that was under the law and the old covenant has passed away. Time and again, people use all kinds of excuses for not tithing. It's also true that tithing is under the law. And that's being said, but it is not only under the law, nor is it with the law that tithing began. Tithing began even before Moses was born. It was one of the resources that the work of the Lord went forward. Those before Moses were giving a portion to God. From the Old Testament, we discover that everything really belongs to God. Did you hear the texts that were read this morning by Wally? Everything belongs to God. We are stewards of everything that you and I have. He has entrusted it with you. What are you doing with it? Everything that you and I think we own belongs to God. We seem to think that we own it. We think we can do what we want with it. But God owns it. He's made you and I a steward of it. And one day, you and I are going to be held accountable. We're going to need to ask for it. We're going to need to answer the question, what have you done with it? The devil is a very sly old fox. He comes up with all kinds of ways and ideas so that we don't have to really pay attention to what God's word really says. We'd love to think and come to that, don't we? Don't we love to say, oh, is that really what God's word's telling me I have to do? We really want to take and try and change it. We want to make it out so that we don't look like the bad guy all the time. The devil likes to give us all kinds of reasons why you and I don't have to tithe on a regular basis. If I were to ask the question, how many of you today that are here have listened to the lies that the devil have told and you've stopped giving? You've stopped giving your portion of the tithe at some time in your life. Well, I'm assuming that most everyone here would have to take and say that they probably have done that. But I also am assuming that those of you that are here today have a great big desire to obey God's word. And that each and every one of us has a very good intention of tithing. The enemy is going to give you every excuse that he can give you as to why you should not give to the Lord what belongs to him. I am going to take and give you some very popular excuses that we've all seen and heard throughout the year, and I'm going to give them to you on the basis of the months of the year. As I walk through them, I want you to take and realize that you can always add your own excuses to these, but I'm going to just do this briefly. Let's start with January. All of a sudden, the credit card bills for Christmas are coming due. We got to pay the bills on the credit card so we don't give anything to the Lord in January. Well, then comes along February, and winter's getting long, and the fuel bills keep piling up, and the car needs to be repaired. Oh, I can't give anything to the Lord this month. Then comes March. Uh-oh, the taxes are due in April. I better not give anything to the Lord this month. I need to keep that. April comes. Well, I need a new outfit for Easter. I can't be seen in this same outfit that I wore last year for Easter. Somebody might notice. And then comes May. And I'm going to pick on the farmer for a minute. And the farmer's going to say, well, it might not rain enough this year, so I better not give in May. I better hold on to that money because it might not rain. We might not get the crop we need. Then June comes. And you know what happens to that poor farmer? It doesn't rain. Now he can't give because he's not going to get a crop. And then comes along July, and it's time for vacation. And we've got to go vacation. We've got to go and have a good time. So then we don't give. because we're on vacation. We forget about our home church and we forget about all of those things. And then comes August, and all of a sudden, vacation was so much fun, we put some of it on the credit cards. Credit card bills are due again. Then comes September. Well, the kids can't start school with that pair of pants that they wore last year. They've got to have new clothes for school. Then comes October. I love this excuse. Winter's coming. I need to save some money for the fuel bills. And I need a new winter coat. And it's about time that I go and see the doctor, too. Better not give anything in October. Then comes November. Grandma wants us all to come for Thanksgiving in November. And when Grandma invites us, boy, and the gas bills are expensive, it's going to be really awful expensive to go see Grandma, so I guess I'm not going to be able to give the Lord anything in November. Then comes December. I got to take and buy Christmas presents again. Well, I guess the Lord will have to wait till next year. And we're going to start all over again. We might snicker just a little bit at those things, but the devil loves to work that in us. Excuses. We use them all the time to justify what we do and what we don't want to do. We justify why we're not giving with excuses. Some of those excuses sounded pretty, you know, like they made sense, didn't they? Well, this past year I had 8 students in confirmation. I had 3 of them from Rose, and then the other 5 were from the 2 churches that I served. Wonderful group of kids. But I told my kids I don't want excuses. I don't believe in excuses, so don't come with excuses. Don't come to me and say I didn't get my lesson done. Don't come with the excuse I didn't have a pen in church so I couldn't take notes. Don't come with me your excuses. I don't want to hear them. I don't accept excuses. The reason I do not accept excuses is because excuses lead to sinning. It gives us an excuse to sin. The second thing is the only person that that excuse makes sense to is the person that's giving it. It makes sense to no one else. How many of us make excuses every day of the week? We all do it, don't we? I'm probably just as guilty as the next person. But I hate when it's the same excuse that we use day in and day out as to why we're not doing something. I'm too busy to have devotions. I'm too tired to take time for the Lord. Excuses. Oh, the devil loves us to use these excuses. And you and I need to learn to ignore the devil and his arguments and all of his lies. From Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. If we do this, we set them on heavenly things, the devil will not have an opportunity to confuse us. Will not have the opportunity to tempt us. We don't have to worry about the future so much because God's going to provide. Tithers avoid the curse of God. The Word of God warns us that failing to give to God what is His is going to cause us a curse. It's going to cause us not to have a blessing. In Haggai chapter 1, that chapter talks about the temple was in ruins. The temple was not being cared for. The people were not being blessed because they were not taking care of God's house. They ran to their own homes. They spent their money on their own homes. But they did not care for the house of God. A very simple message. You need to be careful to take care of the things that God has called you to take care of to avoid the curse that God's going to put upon your life. From Malachi 3:9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Starting to sound a little bit like the United States of America. A country that was built on Christian principles, and we've decided we don't need God anymore in this country. We're robbing God of his portion. We're robbing ourselves of the increase that God's going to give us. Because there is a promise for those who give. Those who are the tithers, Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. In other words, God's shovel is bigger than ours. We give it to him, he's going to give it back. He's going to bless us with so much more. Why? Because he loves us. We are to give our local church. We're to give to missions. We're to take and help the ministries that God leads us to help, those that are around. There may have been a time in your life when you felt you couldn't afford to give. Because of all of the bills in your life, you decided not to give to the Lord. You decided to hold back. You got behind what was God's portion. And each week, use that tithe to pay a bill, thinking, I'm going to get ahead doing this. And what happens is you get further and further behind. Then you realize you're missing the boat. You can't avoid doing God's will in your life. Just because you're having a hard time financially, God still is going to hold us accountable. So then what do? You decide to become faithful again and start tithing. No matter what the cost is, you're going to give to the Lord what is his. What happens is that you begin to experience God's love. You begin to experience his blessing in ways that you've never experienced it before. God's going to reward you for your faithfulness. Many people have been tithers and have been blessed for it. Because as tithers, we have a promise from God that he's going to bless us. I did a series, a full series on stewardship, and tithing was one of those areas in life. I don't remember how long that series was, but it was interesting. When I came to the part on tithing, I took and challenged the congregation that day, and I said, you know, you're probably never going to hear a pastor say this again. But as a pastor, I need to say this to you as I challenge you. The challenge that I put before the congregation that day was that if you are not tithing, I'm going to encourage you and challenge you to begin tithing. I want you to take and give to the Lord everything that is him, that is his, and if you've got a little extra, give it to him for 90 days. At the end of 90 days, if you are not being blessed, if you have not seen a change in your financial situation, if God has not changed things, then I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to give another dollar to the church again. Within 2 weeks, I had families come to me and share with me that they'd taken me up on that challenge. I didn't know if anybody would, but I had families that took me up on that. Within 2 weeks, they were beginning to see the blessing. And the one gal, as I prayed with her, she just wept, and she says, I'm going to give regardless of how hard it is to give, because I've missed the blessing that I should have had. That's what God wants from you and I. There's a joy is another one of the blessings that we get. As a steward of what God has given me, it's good to know that God trusts me. God gives each and every one of us a check every month, every 2 weeks, or once a month, or every week, depending upon the company you work for. But God entrusts you with that check. God wants you to take the first fruits of that check and give it to him. He doesn't want you to give from the surplus. He doesn't want you to give what's left over at the end of the month. He wants you to give from that first. Why? Because he trusts you. There's a joy when we realize that God trusts us. There's a joy that can be had. Don't betray God's trust. Be faithful in the small things and look out because the big things are going to be added to you. Because you tithe, God's going to bless you. But the question comes to it is, do you tithe because the law of Moses told you to tithe? Or maybe it's because the pastor says the church needs you to tithe in order for us to continue. But as an individual, as a body of believers today, we need to be faithful in our giving. Give to the work of God. That being said, as we give to our local church doesn't want to build just a storehouse. We need to take and challenge our church that we're using it to further his kingdom, that we're using it to help those who are in need. But I also believe that we have to remember that it is the Lord's, it is not ours. But as a church, have we invested in the lives of our young people? As a church, have we thought to take and pay for someone of our young people, either part or all of their tuition at our Bible school? Or have we just decided that our young people today are not a good investment? They're not important enough. Have you ever thought maybe as a church we should be supporting one of the seminarian students at the church or at our seminary, even if they're not from our church or from our area, with either a check each month or paying their tuition or whatever it might be? But what has God laid upon our hearts? Or are we just going to continue to put it in our storehouses? As individuals and as a church, God has entrusted you and I. What are we doing with it? Let's give it back to him because his shovel is a whole lot bigger and the blessings are there for us. Amen. Lord, again today, I just thank you and praise your holy name. Lord, that even at the challenge of understanding what it truly means to who we do, who we're serving, you or their pocketbook, Lord, that when we understand that we serve you, our pocketbook no longer is ours. Help us to give as you have blessed us. In thy name we pray. Amen. Let's continue before the communion service with singing of 485, All to Jesus I Surrender.